This is Jody Denberg. My guest tonight is Mark Procht, who has worked with so many of Austin's finest musicians. Fabulous Thunderbirds, Jimmy Vaughn, Doyle Bramhall II, Archangels, Storyville, Vallejo, Soul Hat, and more. And Fran Christina, the former drummer of the Fabulous Thunderbirds, on the back of Mark's new book says, from his unique position as a sound man, coach driver, promoter, or band manager, Mark Procht has presented a glimpse into what is the primordial soup of this seminal music era and some of the musicians and bands that lit the original fire and presented Austin to the world. Some nice praise there from Franny.
It is. I was honored to get that.
Mark, good to see you.
Jody, you and I go back a long way, but it's such a nice honor to be sitting on this side of the microphone in your studio here today.
Well, I'm glad to have you, and I've spent a lot of time with your book, Home Today, Gone Tomorrow, and I know this is your life and your scrapbook, but for those of us who read it and live through these 40 years, it's our lives and our scrapbook, too.
That's the feedback that I'm getting back from a lot of the people that I traveled with that were on the road with me who didn't take pictures during all those years. And they look through it and they go, this is great. This documents my life on the road, or at least part of it. And they're just having an opportunity to see what they did. So I'm glad for that.
The book has a celebration tomorrow night at Shady Grove from 6 to 9. You'll be signing copies of the book, and some of the musicians who are in the book are going to be there with you?
Yes. Vallejo is going to be nice enough to do a little acoustic set, and we're going to be joined by Tommy Shannon, who just got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, part of Double Trouble. Malford Milligan will be there, along with Frosty, who is, if you don't know who Frosty is, you need to know about Frosty. And a bunch of other musicians that I think are going to make it a point to stop by, along with a lot of other people that are in the music business. So not just musicians, but to me, it was as important to have and to acknowledge the people that were also behind the scenes with me, whether they were a bus driver or another sound man, a tour manager, or whoever it was in the business.
And you filled all of those roles along the way, as long as being a proper band manager, if you will. Mark Procht's book, Home Today, Gone Tomorrow. And this is a photo book, although there is some written word in here. You collaborated a bit with Nettie Reynolds.
Nettie helped me, kind of kicked me in the butt a little bit to get the book going, and showed me, kind of led me along and showed me what I needed to do. But I wasn't going to have text at the beginning. I thought, oh, I'm just going to put all these pictures together. But I needed to connect the dots. I needed to let people know how I got to Texas, why Willie Nelson's in the beginning, why Stevie Ray Vaughan's in the middle, and you know how, why does it end kind of with Vallejo. So I needed to connect those dots to people.
It's interesting. It also coincides with 40 years on the dot since you moved here. Was that planned or just coincidence?
Not at all. Just the way it came about. And I had thought about this project about 4 or 5 years ago. And then I got back into the business. I kind of went full circle and started driving tour buses. I owned a couple of tour buses. So I went out on the road again, and I was gone 9, 10, 11 months out of the year. Eric Johnson was one of my clients, along with Weird Al Yankovic. Hmm. And so I had to put the book on the back burner. But when I put about a year ago, I said, hey, this is going to be my 40th year coming into 2015. I really want to have the book done. So I dedicated myself to getting it finished.
Now, this book is full of Mark's recollections, but in essence, it is a photo book, as it says on the cover, snapshots from 40 years on the road, Austin and back. And in this day and age, not everyone had a camera. Not everyone was carrying a phone or a camera for that matter. So were you always interested in photography?
Well, I'm the last one to say I was a photographer because I never took a class. But when I grew up, I always carried a camera with me when I went on family vacations. So it wasn't unusual just to have the camera in my briefcase or in a bag. But it start with a Kodak Instamatic. And if you remember, it's the old square camera with the flash cube up on top. So the first 2 or 3 years, they're pretty rough pictures, but I was lucky enough to get them and to, you know, take the camera out when I had the time. And the pictures stood the test of time, and they didn't get lost or flooded or, you know, wet from a flood or anything like that. So of course they get a little bit better as I got into a 35 millimeter camera and learned how to use it. But some days I would get great shots, and there were plenty of days that I looked back through the pictures and, you know, I missed some great shots.
We're talking with Mark Procht. His new book is called Home Today, Gone Tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, Mark's going to tell us how he got to Texas, how he wound up working right away with Willie Nelson and Delbert McClinton shortly thereafter. But we thought we'd augment our conversation with some of the music that's featured in the book. Let's talk about Delbert for a second. I think one of the best blue-eyed soul singers ever to walk the planet.
Oh, I totally agree, and I love Delbert. And I was Delbert's sound engineer for about four and a half years or so. And when I got the offer, I didn't even have to think about it, because I used to go see Delbert play at Soap Creek all the time, and he was one of my favorites. And it was a transition in my life. I had come off the road with Jeff Walker. Jerry decided he wasn't going to tour, and his ex-tour manager called me and said, do you want to come out? We're looking for a sound man. I said, I'll be there. So I flew to Houston, and my first sound engineer job with Delbert was at Gillies in Houston. Whoa. And back in the days when Gillies was pretty rough, and I'd already been there with Willie Nelson and the Sleep at the Wheel before, so I knew what to expect.
Well, that leads us right into Honky Tonk, and I'm thinking, let's do it. Mark Prock, tomorrow night at Shady Grove, 6 to 9, signing copies of Home Today, Gone Tomorrow. Here's one of the many artists he's worked with over the years, the one and only Delbert. Delbert McClinton with Honky Tonkin, and my guest tonight, Mark Prock, has worked with Delbert, the Fabulous Thunderbird, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Soul Hat, Vallejo, so many others, and has a new book called Home Today, Gone Tomorrow. And that's Mark Prock, who'll be signing these books and welcoming his musician and music business friends to Shady Grove tomorrow night from 6 to 9. So I skipped ahead a little bit because we played some Delbert, but that wasn't your first gig. You came to Austin literally 40 years ago on the nose from New York. How did you get here?
That's a great story, because not very many people know. I was actually an aspiring pedal steel guitar player, and I was listening to Willie Nelson and Waylon and Johnny Paycheck back in New York, and thinking I was going to be a pedal steel guitar player and play in a band. And I had a good friend, Stu Shulman, that lived upstate in upstate New York, and he was my steel guitar teacher. And Stu upped and moved to Dallas first, but then ended up in Texas, in Austin. And we stayed in touch, and I decided to make a trip to Austin to visit. And I came down Christmas Eve of 1974, and the first person to pick me up at the airport was an individual by the name of Pootie Locke, along with Stu. And I spent about a month in Austin and fell in love with it. I mean, it just didn't take much to figure that out, that this was a great place to live.
Now, for those who don't know Pootie Locke, he was Willie Nelson's road manager for pretty much 35 years.
At least, yeah. He was working for a B.W. Stevenson at the time. He and another individual, Michael Gene Schroeder, were working. They were the crew for B.W., who was fairly well known at the time. And then while I was there in that January of 75, they got a call from Willie Nelson, and Willie offered them the job to come work for him. And it was a tough decision, because I remember them going, oh, should we quit BW? And they ultimately made a decision to go with Willie. And of course, that was a good decision.
Now, BW had a top 10 hit at the time, My Maria.
My Maria, exactly.
And so you hook up with Pootie Locke, and then, so your first official gig is with Willie Nelson in Austin Music?
Yes. Yeah, so I come back to Austin, and I realized that I wasn't going to be a great steel guitar player, but I had been studying electronics, and I was very interested in sound engineering back in New York, and I got an opportunity with a little bit of a twisting of the arm by Pootie. There was an individual, Jerry Potter, who owned a company called Lone Star Sound, and Lone Star Sound was providing the sound system for Willie Nelson at the time. So Pootie got me a job where I didn't really know exactly what I was doing, but I knew I could work hard at it. And through the School of Knox, I just kind of worked my way up into the actually, I ended up running monitors on the stage monitors for the Willie tours.
Everything Mark and I are talking about, you can see in his book. I mean, we're talking right now, we're illustrating with music, but we're not on TV. So you have to see this book to see all of these pictures, and they go all the way back 40 years with Willie. You were at the Gonzales 4th of July picnic with Willie. Boy.
That was a great one. That was, and I try to remember everything that happened, but it happened so quickly because it was so crazy out there. They didn't expect a huge crowd. They had close to 100,000 plus people. And the thing I remember the most is that the last set was Willie Nelson's set, and it started to rain, and they didn't have a great roof. They kind of had a tarp up there, and it started collecting water, and everybody was worried that the roof was going to come down. So Willie's longtime drummer, still is his drummer, Paul English, steps up on the stage, pulls out a pistol, puts about 6 bullet holes in the roof, and the water just comes pouring down on all the gear. And that's how the picnic ended.
Paul English is a wise man and someone you don't want to cross. Bless him. Talking with Mark Prock. Come visit with him tomorrow night at Shady Grove, by the way, between 6 and 9, and check out this book. Willie Nelson, Asleep at the Wheel, Jerry Jeff Walker. There's a picture of you at one show with the Grateful Dead.
That was a really cool show, because when I was in New York, I was kind of growing up as a Deadhead in high school, and I loved the band. And then when I came back, when I got to Texas, you know, everything was based around the progressive country rock scene back in the days, and, you know, in the late 70s. But with Jerry Jeff Walker, we did a show, and it was billed Willie Nelson, the Grateful Dead, and Jerry Jeff was also on the bill. So when I got there, it's like, this kind of reminded me, this is where I kind of started. And here I am on the other side of the stage, because there were so many times I was standing out there in the audience at a Grateful Dead show. So I said, they're up on stage, and I said, this is my only chance. I'm going to go take some pictures. So I kind of walked up on the stage, like acting like I knew what I was doing, and just started shooting pictures. And they were cool with that. They were okay.
One of our DJs, Jay Trachtenberg, is a major Deadhead. I handed him the book. He sniffed out the Jerry Garcia picture very quickly. You talk about progressive country ruling the roost at that time, but you were right there when Austin became known just as much for its rhythm and blues scene as for its progressive country scene, and you were integral to that with your work with the Fabulous Thunderbirds and then Stevie Ray Vaughan and the Vaughan Brothers, and then, of course, after Stevie's passing, Archangels, Storyville, this thread of rhythm and blues that runs right through Austin music history. How did you wind up, I'd imagine the T-Birds was your first entree into that genre?
Well, Delbert started because Delbert was kind of the crossover. Some people thought he was a country artist, but he was really, you said, a blue-eyed singer. But he also, he loved the blues, obviously, more than wanting to be a country singer. But it kind of introduced me to the style of music. And at that, by the time I was, on the road with Delbert, we were playing with Stevie Ray Vaughan and Triple Threat. The T-Birds opened up some shows. So I was starting to get a kind of a lesson about the blues because I really didn't know much about it. And then it's the beginning of the 80s when I went to work for the Fabulous Thunderbirds, I had met Clifford Antone. And Clifford kept on giving me cassettes with all these legendary blues artists on it, going, I'm going to educate you. I'm going to show you what the blues are about. Take this in your car and listen to it. So I just got myself plugged into, at the right time, into the blues scene that was just really getting ready to take off here.
And the thing is, that blues scene changed the world, brought blues music to another generation who then went back and found out about B.B. King and Buddy Guy and Muddy Waters. And the Fabulous Thunderbirds and Stevie Ray, those were the guys that did it. And Mark Procht was right there, and he brought his camera. So you can see it all in his new book, Home Today, Gone Tomorrow. You talk about the Fab T-Birds, and you were there as their manager when Tough Enough became this big top 10 hit all across the country. But the early T-Birds had this certain funkiness to them that was a little bit different than, you know, the Dave Edmunds production. The first two records were just amazing, and we're going to play one off What's the Word. Do you kind of have a soft spot in your heart for that early T-Birds thing?
Oh, I miss those early shows. They were just down, dirty, and sweaty. And I've never heard a band. I mean, people have tried, but nobody has recreated the sound of those early T-Bird records or their live shows. I mean, they were legendary. And they were legendary to, like, superstars. I mean, people like Robert Plant would come out to see the band every time we would play. There were just so many people that just loved that band.
You've got a picture with the Fabulous Thunderbirds standing with Bob Dylan. He doesn't stand for anyone.
Right. Got him in the corner and took a picture.
He stood for you in this book. And you got to see these pictures, friends. Home Today, Gone Tomorrow, Mark Procht's book. We're talking Fab T-Birds on KUTX. We're listening to the Fab T-Birds now.
that old man. I'm too young to die. Yeah. 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 Woo-hoo.
Fabulous Thunderbirds on KUTX. And that's Running Shoes from their second album, What's the Word? And a man who worked with the Fabulous Thunderbirds, Stevie Ray Vaughan, the Vaughan Brothers, gosh, Storyville, Archangels, Vallejo, to mention a couple is to forget a couple, Soul Hat, so many others. Mark Procht is here. He's got a new photo book called Home Today, Gone Tomorrow. And from 6 to 9 tomorrow, he will be at Shady Grove with Vallejo and other musicians and music friends, signing copies of the book and just having a good time like we've been doing for 40 years.
It's great.
Very blessedly. And Mark, your passion is what led you to all of these musicians. You know, you wound up working with the people that you liked because that's who you pursued to work with.
It was always about the music. I mean, I didn't go like a lawyer might go to law school, a doctor might go to medical school. I mean, there were no schools to go to. I just knew I wanted to be around music for the rest of my life. I knew I wanted to figure out a way to make that work. And I wanted to be around the music that I felt really passionate about. So I've been really fortunate because there's not one band that I didn't want to be there with them and didn't mind, you know, being on the side of the stage, listening to them every night of the week.
The timing for the book, Home Today, Gone Tomorrow, couldn't be better with Stevie Ray Vaughan being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by brother Jimmy Vaughan. And although that happened weeks ago, most of America just saw it this weekend on HBO for the first time. Jimmy left the T-Birds after the great success of Tough Enough, and there was another record, I think Powerful Stuff, about 1989. The T-Birds and Stevie Ray, they toured together a lot?
Most of 88 and 89, we were out on the road together, the two bands, and kind of as a package. And at that point, the T-Birds had some success. And the person that was probably the most happy about their success was Stevie Ray. I mean, he loved it that finally, because he had taken off earlier, early 80s, and he was really on a really up, you know, on a great climb upwards. And the T-Birds were struggling a little bit. And when the T-Birds got their success, probably the person that loved it the most was Stevie Ray.
He was a wonderful human being. And I don't just say that because he's not with us. He was a real sweetheart and became more emotionally accessible after he became sober. You could really sit down and talk to him. He opened up, and that was, I'm sure, something that you experienced over the years. When Jimmy Vaughan decided to leave the T-Birds, that was a pretty big deal and a surprise to most of the fans.
Yeah, and I think what had happened is we had done that time on the road, and a lot of things, of course, had happened with the Fabulous Thunderbirds, and he just felt he wanted to pursue something a little bit different in his, whether it was not necessarily with his brother at the time, and he wasn't necessarily sure what it was going to be, but he wanted to pursue something a little bit different. But the two brothers had spent all this time on the road, and they kept on talking about how great it would be to make a record together. Now, they also had the opportunity to reconnect, and something they hadn't done. Stevie was so busy for all those years out touring. Jimmy was doing his stuff with the T-Birds. So the time together kind of reinforced that idea that maybe they should make a record together.
And, you know, as we're talking about all this, I'm seeing the images in my head from the book because I've had the chance to look at the book. And as you mentioned earlier, the beginning of the book, since it's chronological, the photos are a little bit more primitive. But by the time we get to the Vaughan Brothers family style record sessions, and the photographs are amazing and previously unseen by most people.
I appreciate that. And yeah, they haven't been seen by most people. And I was the only one with a camera. I was the only one in the studio pretty much, except Renee Martinez was there with me, who was Stevie's longtime guitar tech, myself, Jimmy and Stevie, and Nile Rodgers, the producer. And none of them had cameras, so I just felt it was an important thing to document. So then they didn't mind. They knew I had the camera. I'd take it out, and I knew when to take it out, when not to take it out. And I'm so happy, of course, that I did document that year, year of 1990, almost all of it spent with both brothers.
Now, I think I spoke with you right around the time Stevie Ray passed away. You were there in Wisconsin. You were there as the brothers were deciding what helicopter to take and such, and I guess Stevie insisted he wanted to get on the helicopter that was there at the time because he wanted to get home?
He was trying to get back to Chicago to get on to just, well, get back a little bit earlier. He had some things he wanted to do, some phone calls he wanted to make, and he felt bad about leaving. He didn't want to leave. In fact, he asked his brother if it was okay. He asked everybody if, you know, they wouldn't mind, because there were two sets of there were two choices. We could leave before the show ended and go back to Chicago. If you understand, we were up at Alpine Valley and we stayed in Chicago, so it was a helicopter ride back. And if we stayed till the show had ended, which everybody did because there was a long jam, we'd have to wait till Eric's people and his band they got their helicopter ride back to Chicago. So there were a couple of seats left on that fourth helicopter, and the last one was offered to Stevie, and he took that seat.
Fate. As Steve Fromholtz once said, fate will have it, and fate will have it.
I have thought about that night so many times, and we can't change what's been done. You know, you think about what if this hadn't happened, or had, you know, but that's not the way life is.
No. It's going to be 25 years. I guess this, was it? I get Stevie's birthday. One's August and one's October.
October is a birthday. Right. Stevie and I were about the same age.
Okay.
And August will be the anniversary.
This book is called Home Today, Gone Tomorrow. You really should give it a look-see that Mark put together of all his photographs. One thing we didn't mention, but I think it's implicit, is just that this book is not just your memories or my memories. It shows all the changes that Austin music has gone through over 40 years, how a certain segment of our music scene began. It encapsulates Austin music over 40 years.
Well, what's interesting about it, and I had no plan, no definitive plan to do that, but when I looked at all the pictures and I assembled the book and I went, this is pretty much Austin's musical history. I mean, how fortunate I was to work with some of the best musicians in Austin and Texas and in the world. And when you do open it up and you look at it, and if you know about Austin's history, musical history, you'll understand. And if you don't, it's a great way to learn about it, to get an idea of what happened 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago.
It's a great introduction. Brought up a lot of memories for me. You were integral, central to the T-Birds River Fest that went on at Auditorium Shores, really the precursors to all the festivals that we're having now. And those pictures are in this book. And I just wanted to, before we close and leave everyone with a song, first remind everyone tomorrow night, Shady Grove, 6 to 9, Mark will be there with the book and Vallejo. And I bet you there's going to be a lot of musician friends there. Many of them are in the book. And, you know, the rhythm section of Double Trouble, who survived Wisconsin, of course, Chris Whipper-Layton and Tommy Shannon, they went on to be in the Archangels with Charlie and Doyle Bramhall II, and then in Storyville with Malford and David Grissom and David Holt. You were part of that story as well. So the thread went on for a while.
Absolutely. You know, for another good 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Did you watch it on HBO this weekend?
Yeah, and it's really hard. I mean, it's very moving. I'm so happy for Chris, Tommy, and Reese Winans. And Reese and I were friends. We worked together with Jerry Jeff Walker. A lot of people didn't know that. I was his best man at his wedding in the 70s. I recommended him for the job with Delbert McClinton. So he came on board as Delbert's keyboard player. And then when we all went in different ways, he ended up in Double Trouble. Back to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's a great moment in time. They were so deserving of that moment too. And Jimmy was really, I know it's tough for him. I watched, and I know that it wasn't the easiest thing for him to do, and he handled it really, really well.
Man, I have nothing but respect for Jimmy as a player, as a human being. Just wonderful. Well, everything seems to have come full circle, and yet the circle continues with Gary Clark Jr. and Doyle Bramhall II and other great players continuing this musical legacy. Come out and see Mark tomorrow at Shady Grove, 6 to 9. And, you know, when the Family Style record came out, I was working at another station. We had advanced cassettes of that record at the time. When Stevie passed, we didn't know, should we play this, should we not play this, because it wasn't really officially released to us, but with your blessing and I think some people from Sony, we did go ahead and play music from Family Style in the wake of Stevie's passing, and it was really special to have that music.
Yeah, and it was a decision that Jimmy was a big part of, and it's very hard to explain, but a lot of those decisions were just him and I had to make, and the two brothers put so much into making that record. Could have said, the decision could have been, well, let's not do that, but I think Stevie wanted that record to come out, and, you know, like I said, it was a very hard thing to do, but it's such great music on that album, Family Style.
Well, you can find Jimmy Vaughn playing in Austin, Texas quite frequently. You can find the Stevie Ray statue at Auditorium Shores anytime you want to commune with his spirit or wherever you are. You can find Mark Prock tomorrow night at Shady Grove from 6 to 9. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much.
And I think the thing to do is serve up a little Family Style right now. Let's do it, KTX.